You know, the scripture says this. It says, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And God wants us to be free, ladies and gentlemen. And I began a series of messages last week entitled Finding Freedom. And last week, we talked about how we can have freedom from fear. God doesn't want us to be controlled by fear. He wants us to be free from fear, folks. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? He wants us to be free from fear. An acrostic for fear is just false evidence appearing real anyway. God wants us free from fear. And I'm preaching message number 2 of this series entitled Freedom from Guilt. Freedom from guilt. In the eons of time, God knew what we would need. And he brought you here for such a time as this to hear this message. So we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to stand. Everybody's going to take your iPad, your iPhone, your scriptures, and you're going to stand and you're going to go to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. And I want to call your attention to verse 1 through verse 4. This is what the scripture says in Psalms 51. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I love what David said. He said, for I have acknowledged my transgression. My sin is ever before me. In verse 4, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Freedom from guilt. You know, in 1811, something happened. In 1811, a man literally sent $5 in to the federal government. Just mailed in $5 simply because he said he felt he had taken advantage of the government. And it was anonymous. I don't know who the man was, but he simply just mailed in $5 to the United States government. True story. They started a fund called the Guilty Conscience Fund. It's when people felt like they had taken advantage in some way, whether it be with their taxes or whether it be with their income or whatever way it may be, they could mail in money. In 1990, a man mailed in anonymously $155,502 because he wanted some help dealing with his guilt. Now, how much money is in this account right now, Pastor? $6.5 million. People have mailed in because they wanted some help dealing with the guilt. Now, you know, folks, after all these years of preaching the gospel, if there's a message that seems to be relevant to people, it's the message of overcoming guilt. It's the message of feeling guilty. What do we do when we've messed up in the past? What do we do when we've had an abortion? What do we do when we've had an affair? What do we do when we hadn't done what was right concerning our resources? What do we do when we hadn't been the parents that we should have been? What do we do when we have this regret, this guilt, if we could just go back and do things different? I remember years ago, I received an email from a young lady, 30 years old. I was her pastor, beautiful young lady, 3 children. She sent me this email, and she said this. She said, I only wish that I could have lived a better, happier life. She said, my biggest mistake I'm bringing to you today. And then she spends a few paragraphs, and she talks about the mistake. And when I look at this email, I often thought, I could fill in the paragraph in my life. There would be a paragraph that I could fill in. And you know what I know about every one of us? Every one of us could fill in the paragraph. Every one of us have something we could fill in that if we could go back, we'd do different. She gets more transparent and she says, I can't take back or change what I did. Wouldn't we all like to? She said, I'm ashamed of myself and I'm very tired. And then she goes on and she says, Pastor, help my family. Promise me, Pastor Benny, that you'll help my family. And she says, I pray God will forgive me. I know how much pain I've brought to everybody. And then she says, Brother Benny, I pray that God will accept me today. I didn't know what happened, but I do now. She sent that email to me. She walked out. She got in an automobile, placed a gun on her chest, ended her life. And a few days later, I stood and preached that young lady's funeral, and I saw those three babies, and I saw that husband. And what rolled in my mind, she never got past the guilt. The guilt just consumed her. She never dealt with the guilt. I think Irma Bombeck was correct when she said, guilt is the gift that keeps on giving unless we deal with it. Guilt is the gift that keeps on giving unless we deal with it. Now, there was a man in the Bible that wrote Psalms 51. His name was David. Folks, when we think about he wrote the psalm, it's really not a psalm, it's a song. He was a songwriter. And he wrote this song. But he was not only a songwriter, he was a musician. He was wealthy. He was accomplished. He lived in the palace. He was a king. I mean, he was a very wise man. But here's what happened, folks. The Bible says this, and I've often thought about this. And by the way, let me say this. When this happened in David's life, sometimes people think he was some young, vivacious man. No. It was in the middle age part of life. It was in the middle age part of life. And in this period in his life, the Bible says when the kings went forth to battle, he stayed in Jerusalem. Now, here's what's amazing. He should have been out there on the battlefield. Folks, we get in trouble when we're not doing what we ought to be doing. He should have been out there on the battlefield, but he tarried in Jerusalem. He slept late. He was idle. He was careless. We get in trouble, folks, when we're idle and when we're careless. He's out there, and he looks out there, and he sees a woman. Here's the story. She's another man's wife. But David has relations with her. Just meant to be a one-night stand. But she becomes with child. And she says, David, I'm with child. And David said, oh, no. Oh, no. See, folks, when sin first comes up in all of our lives, it's human nature to try to cover it up. For you to try to cover it up, for me to try to cover it up. So David knew that the soldiers were battling. And he said, her husband's out on the battlefield. I've got to get him home. And Joab sends Uriah, the Hittite, home. But he comes home and does not spend the night with his wife. He says, no, that wouldn't be right. So David's plan did not work. Now, here's what I want you to understand. After that, David sent letters to Joab and said, you put him on the front row where he knew he would be killed. The front row of the battlefield. You got to understand something. David committed adultery. David deceived. David lied. David committed murder. But before I get into this message, David was a better man than any man listening to me preach or the man preaching the message. David was a better man because the Bible says this man, David, was a man after God's own heart. So I want you to understand, we don't have any stones to cast. We don't have any stones to cast. Because David sinned, and ladies and gentlemen, what happened to David could happen to any one of us. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get. Perhaps you haven't done what David did. But the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. It's just us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. David, ladies and gentlemen, for one solid year, tried to cover, strategize, take care of his sin on his own, and literally guilt controlled him. And I want you to know, it's true of my life and it's true of your life. It will do the same thing. See, if you can sin and enjoy it, you've never been saved. If you can sin and it not bother you, you've never been saved. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye a bastard and not a son. And a bastard only means an illegitimate child. You say, Pastor Benny, can a Christian do wrong? Yes, and I have. But you can't do wrong and get by with it. And you can't do wrong and have joy and fulfillment and tranquility in your life. Can't do it. You can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Because God will deal with the hearts of his children. And friend, if you can do it and get by with it, you've never known the Lord. I want you to see three or four quick things and from this text. The first thing I want you to see, folks, is the agony of guilt. The agony of guilt. See, when guilt affects us, it affects us in three ways. Number one, it affects us with silence. Look what the scripture says in Psalms 32. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old, roaring through my roaring all the day long. Now, here was the man who was the king, but here was the man who couldn't talk to nobody. Here was the man who was the king, but literally had to just go into a shell. Here was the man who had all these relationships, but he said, I'm just ostracized from everybody. See, let me tell you what guilt will do. Guilt will create silence in your life. But guilt will not only create silence, but guilt will create sorrow in your life. Look what David said in verse 4. He said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture, my vitality. There's no vitality anymore. It's turned into the drought of summer. Because, see, sin creates guilt. And guilt creates shame. And shame pulls us down. He said, no. Not only was there silence, not only was there sorrow, but I want you to understand something. There was secrecy. David said, I tried every way in the world to cover this up. I tried to keep it secret. But I wondered who Bathsheba was talking to, and I wondered who Joab was talking to. That's the thing about guilt. Guilt, we just want to keep it inside. And we just want to keep it secret. And we wonder who knows. Now, not only, ladies and gentlemen, do I see the agony of guilt, but I see the accusation of guilt. See, there's, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, after David sinned, there was a prophet named Nathan who went to him. Now, I want you to understand this. If you're heading down a wrong path, God will give you a voice of reason along the way. If you're heading down the wrong path, God will give you a roadblock along the way. God will give you a word to the weary along the way. I'll promise you, I don't believe nobody ever messed up that they didn't get a word. I don't believe nobody ever messed up. I don't believe nobody ever messed up what they didn't get a word. Now, it was whether or not they heeded the word. But God's going to send you a word, ladies and gentlemen. God's going to send a word to you. God's going to send a word and say, no, you need to slow down. You need to stop. God wants to speak to us. We're His children. Let me tell you something. When you do mess up, God's going to send a word. God's going to send a word to you. God's going to send a word to you. You're going to say, how did that person know that? How did they see that? How did that happen? I'll tell you, friend, it's because God loves you. It's because God loves you. See, tonight, let me tell you what God's doing. God's dealing with some people's hearts. God's dealing with people's hearts even tonight. Some of you, He's dealing with your heart because you've never came to know Him as your Savior. God is dealing with your heart because you say, but Brother Benny, I'm a good person. But being a good person's not enough. God's dealing with your heart, and He's saying, I love you. And He's saying, you need to come to Me. And God's saying, you've tried everything else, and it's not there. It's only in Me. And God's dealing with some of your hearts, and what He's saying is, I still love you. All you got to do is come to Me and confess it to Me. I'm willing to forgive you. No matter what you've done, I still love you. All you've got to do is come back to Me. See, folks, there's an accusation of guilt, but it's an accusation of love that God's trying to give us a word. But there's a third thing I see. That's the admission of guilt. The admission of guilt. Now, I told you that God sent Nathan. See, here's what amazes me, folks. It amazes me that we believe that God loves us enough that He died on the cross for us. By the way, how many of you believe that? Great. We all believe that God loves us enough that He died on the cross. But we have a hard time believing that God loves us enough that He'd send us a message. We have a hard time believing that God loves us enough that He'd send a word to our souls. Now, as Psalms 51 begins, look what it says. This is what it says as it starts. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. And what he's telling us, folks, this psalm was written after Nathan the prophet confronted David. Now, what did David do? This is so important, folks. This is so important. These three things. He accepts responsibility. Look what Psalms 51. Folks, let's just read this. Psalms 51 says, have mercy upon, not him, but upon me. O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out not his, but my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I'm telling you, folks, I'm not real smart, but that's a lot of personal pronouns. That's a lot of personal pronouns. See, folks, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. He accepts responsibility. I love what Michael Vick said. After Michael Vick went to prison for animal abuse, he said, when the prison door shut behind me, I said these words to myself. I blame me. I blame me. Folks, let me tell you something. You're never going to get past anything. You're certainly not going to get past guilt until you accept responsibility. Until you accept responsibility. He accepts responsibility, but let me tell you what else he does, folks. He acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges his sin. Now, he didn't call it a mistake. I had a little lapse of thinking. It was a small indiscretion. See, folks, we've got all the terminology to deal with sin. Amen? We've got all the wording to deal with sin. See, listen, I remember when I first started preaching, literally, guys would preach on gluttony. Not anymore. Just to eating disorder. No, but listen, I grew up in a culture, if he was a drunk, he was a drunk. No, if he was a drunk, it's just a chemical addiction. But I want to, listen, you can believe what, I heard about one lady who literally said these words. She went out one night and got drunk. And somebody asked her about it the next day because of her behavior. She said, I hate it when I'm overserved. No personal responsibility. But no, wait, David wasn't this way. You look at the terminology he used. He said, my transgression. What is a transgression? It's a defiant disobedience. Not only transgression, he used the word iniquity. By the way, what does iniquity mean? Here's what it means. Perversion. He used the word sin. What does sin mean? It means missing the mark. He used the word evil. What does evil mean? It means a vile thing. I want you to understand something, folks. Listen, if we disobey God and we come to God, we need to call it what it is. We need to see it just like God sees it. Oh, you say it's not a big thing. Yes, it is a big thing. It sent Jesus Christ to the cross. It is a big thing. He accepts responsibility. He acknowledges his sin. But I want you to see, folks, he addresses his confession to God. If you look at verse 4, look what he said, folks. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now, he had done wrong by Bathsheba. He had done wrong by Joab. But he realized ultimately his sin was against God. Now, here's the point I wanted to get us to tonight. What is the answer for guilt, Pastor? What is the answer for the guilt in my life? Because I've been controlled by guilt for a long time. I go to bed with guilt. I wake up with guilt. Pastor, how can I get victory in my life? Well, by the way, folks, God wants you to have victory. And God wants you to have freedom. God does not want you living in the past. See, somebody said it best, folks. We forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. We forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. You say, Pastor Benny, how can I get victory over this guilt? Well, there's four things, and I want you to see them. The first thing is the removing of the sin. The removing of the sin. Look what verse 2 says. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You got to understand something, folks. Whatever you did, whatever I've done, the only person who can forgive me or forgive you is God. The only person who can forgive us and wash our sins away is God. When we come to God, ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it matters not what you've done. God can remove the sin. God can forgive the sin. God can wipe the slate clean, and you can start anew. See, look what he said in verse 7. Get this. He said, purge me with hyssop. In the Old Testament, when a person came in contact with a dead body, they were ceremonially cleansed with a hyssop plant because they had been in contact with a dead body. What David was saying, I've been in contact with a dead man. I'm responsible for the life of Uriah the Hittite. I murdered him. But God, you even removed that sin from me. You've totally and fully forgiven me. Do you know they tell us that 75% of people that are in mental institutions could walk out and live a normal life if they only knew they had been forgiven? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can be forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've messed up, it matters not if it's an addiction. It matters not if it's an affair. It matters not if it's adultery. It really matters not what it is. God's willing to wipe the slate clean. Totally clean. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb. Make us white as snow. That's what the Lord's willing to do. That's what he's willing to do for you. You say, oh, Pastor, I've done this. Oh, it matters not what you've done. He's willing to remove the sin. Folks, that's the best news I know. That's the best news I know. God said it would be cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. As far as the east is from the west, so far would he remove our transgressions from us. That's the best news, ladies and gentlemen. I know that I have been forgiven. The best news I know. And you can be too. And you can be too. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, I see the removing of the sin. Let me tell you something else. I see the restoring of the joy. See, when you're on the guilt trip, there's no joy in your life. There's no joy in your life. There's no happiness in your life. There's no fulfillment in your life. David said, listen, I go down there and I do this stuff, but the joy left my life. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're not living for the Lord like you ought to be living for the Lord, there won't be joy in your life. There won't be joy in my life. Because, see, there'll be no peace. There'll be no tranquility. Friend, let me tell you something. I know. I've been there. It won't be there. The joy won't be there. Look what David said. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, I was going along. I was even coming to church. But he said, there was no joy in my life. And friend, we can't have joy unless we're right with God and in fellowship with God. But then there's a third thing that he says. He says, renew the fellowship. Renews the fellowship. Look what verse 11 says. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. David understood something. See, what was the difference in Saul? You know what was amazing, folks? I look at Saul and David's life, and David far greater sinned. His sin was far greater than Saul's. Far greater. But why did God take the Holy Spirit away from Saul? Because get this, folks. Saul refused to repent. And you know what David said? He said, Lord, I know I've messed up. But whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me like you did Saul. I can't make it without the Holy Spirit. I can't make it without the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. I can't make it without the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, don't take the Holy Spirit away from me, God. And then there's the last thing, and that is refocus on the future. Refocus on the future. You know, David got back, folks, and he made peace with God. And after he made peace with God, look what he said in Psalms 51, verse 13. He said, God, I've made peace with you now. I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners of me converted unto thee. He said, God, now that I've made things right with you, I'm going to be a witness again. Because, see, when I was on that guilt trip, I wasn't a witness. Because that guilt trip took away my witness. That guilt trip took away my witness because I wasn't right with you. And God, I wasn't talking to anybody else about you because I was consumed with my guilt. I wasn't inviting anybody to church. I wasn't excited because guilt was eating my lunch. But he said, Lord, I'm back. I'm going to be your witness now. But he said, no. It's not going to end there. In verse 15, look what he said. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He said, Lord, not only did I quit witnessing, but I quit worshiping. But he said, David, the worshiper's back. David, the worshiper's back. Because I'm right with you. See, folks, when you're controlled by guilt, you might be coming to church, but you're not worshiping him. You're not worshiping him because you're consumed with your guilt. And most of the time, you don't even want to come. You're looking for a reason to miss. But after you get back right with him, you just want to worship him. You just want to praise him. You just want to give him glory and honor and accolades and tell him again and again how much we love him. How much we love him. We look up to that cross and we just praise him. Because he's worthy of our praise. Oh, I've got things back with him, and I want to worship him. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. I read Psalms 32. Such a good psalm. Somebody said, Pastor, I can't forgive myself. Let me say a couple things. First of all, that's not your job. You don't have to forgive. God's the one that does the forgiving. So don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. You don't have to forgive. God's the one that forgives. But I will say this while we're on that subject. If a perfect God can forgive you, certainly an imperfect Jew can forgive you. Amen? This perfect God said, Benny, I'm willing to forgive you. So if I won't forgive me, I just made my standard higher than God's standard. And that's, I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. Amen? God's willing to forgive me, and God's willing to forgive you. Now, here's what you got to get, folks. This just blessed me. I read Psalms 32 and 1, and I'm almost done. I am. Psalms 32 and 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression. You know what that word blessed means? It means happy. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, you know what that word there means? It means carried away. It literally means carried away. What it's talking about in David's day, once a year, the high priest would take a goat, a scapegoat, And he would place his hands on the scapegoat's head. And he would confess the transgressions of the people. And then he would hit the goat. And the goat would be out in the wilderness, carried away, never to be seen again. And folks, let me tell you what. That's what God does with our guilt. When we bring it to Jesus Christ, he carries it away, never to be remembered against us again. It's not the will of God for you to beat yourself up. It's not the will of God for you to put yourself down. It's not the will of God for you to keep reliving the past in your mind and telling yourself how what a failure you are. God doesn't want that, ladies and gentlemen. God wants you to be free from that guilt. That's why Jesus Christ came. You say, but Brother Ben, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. He understands. And you need to understand that we bring it to Jesus and he forgives us, ladies and gentlemen. And he takes it away. Little boy goes to Washington, D.C. And he walks up to the Washington Monument. And he says, I want to buy the Washington Monument. And the keeper of the Washington Monument says, son, how much money do you have? He said, I've got 34 cents. He said, well, son, there's three reasons why you can't buy the Washington Monument. He said, number one, it's not for sale. Number two, 34 cents is not enough money to buy the Washington Monument, but neither would $34 million. And number three, if you're an American citizen, you already own it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. You've been forgiven. Quit beating yourself up. Walk in your forgiveness. Walk in your forgiveness. Live in your forgiveness. That's the plan of God. He's forgiven you. For God's sake, you can forgive yourself. You can be free because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's reason enough right there just to praise him.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.